Our message today is entitled, The Importance of Love. Tell your neighbor, love is important. Love is important. Oh, a lot of things have a lot of value, but love is the most valuable thing we'll ever know. But not the way the world loves, and not the way that most of us have been loved, but the way that God loves. That's what we want to find out today, is what kind of love is God's love, and we'll see just how important His love for our lives. Let's read out loud some of our text today from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, and we're going to put an exclamation point with verse 13. Let's read it out loud. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. But now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Tell somebody the greatest of these is love. It was Jonathan Swift, the author of Gulliver's Travels, who said this: we have just enough religion to make us hate, but not enough to make us love one another. That is a crying shame, but it is more real than we would like to think. But what we talk about when we think about God's love is totally different than the world's love. You see, the world's love and the kind that most of us have been raised with and live with is a conditional love. It is, I'll love you if. If you're kind to me, I'll be kind to you. If you're fair to me, I'll be fair to you. If you're faithful to me, I'll be faithful to you. That's not God's kind of love. That's a conditional kind of love. God's kind of love is an act of the will and not an attraction of the emotion. If you had time to think, and I hope that you will, have you ever loved something or someone who wasn't attractive to you, who wasn't responsive to you, and probably caused you more heartache and more pain than pleasure was ever given to you? If you ever loved something like that unconditionally, you might begin to scratch the surface of the kind of love that God has for you and God has for me. You see, there was nothing attractive about you, and there was nothing attractive about me when God chose to love us. Listen to how He describes it in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. God has chosen us from the beginning for salvation. Before there was ever a beginning of anything, God chose to love you, and God chose to love me. Now, just in the time that you've been alive, have you ever done a wicked thing? Have you ever done an immoral thing? Have you ever done anything that was would be so offensive to a holy God that it was hard for you to even look up? God knew you was going to do that. And God knows the next thing like that you're going to do. But from the beginning, God chose to love you enough to bring value to your life. If they were to take the sum total of your body parts and my body parts, it'd be about $3.19. There's no real value to the skin that you have, to the blood that you have, to the organs that you have, to the knees that you have, to the toes that you have. Matter of fact, if we traded them in, we would have to owe a huge deposit for that. But yet, as you sit here today, as you listen to me preach today, There is nothing more valuable in all of eternity than you. Because God has chosen to love you. Every object that God chooses to love has supreme value after God's chosen to love you. But before God loved you, there was no value to you. There was no worth to you. There was certainly nothing redeemable about you. Let's take a nation. The nation Israel. They weren't stronger than anybody else. They weren't more numerous than anybody else. They weren't smarter than anybody else, and they certainly don't love God better than anybody else. And they were of no value and of no worth, but God said, I'm going to give a demonstration of my love, and I'm going to sovereignly choose to love this people, even though they're going to be hard-hearted, stiff-necked, rebellious, ungrateful, and not acknowledge who I am, and reject my son the first time I send him for them. But yet God loved them anyway. And they are the apple of his eye because of a sovereign choice that he made. But so are you, and so am I. That's the kind of love that I'm talking about. Not a kind of love that you grow in attraction to. You like some things that they do. You like some ways that they behave. You like the color of their skin. You like the style of their hair. And you get infatuated with. Not that kind of a love. A kind of a love that says, you are disgusting. You are immoral. You are ungrateful. You are unlovable. But I'm going to love you anyway. That's the kind of love we're talking about. It doesn't say, I'll love you if. It says, I love you, period. That's what we're trying to introduce into our lives, is the kind of love that God has for us. And that's what we're learning about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You see, when we study about God's love, here's the important thing to remember. God's love is not an adjective, it's a verb. God's love cannot be defined, and it never is, but it's always seen in action. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John MacArthur said it this way, love is not something you describe with adjectives. Love is something that you describe with verbs, because love is only described, it's never defined. Love is only love when it acts, and the Bible never defines love, it only describes it. In every one of the 15 perfections of love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, every one of them is a verb acting. And so when we talk about love today, it's that kind of love. And I want to give you three things that will teach us the importance of love today, or help us to understand a little bit better how important it really is. First of all, the absence of love makes our life empty. The absence of this kind of acting love, of this kind of choosing love, of this kind of unconditional love makes our life empty. It makes our life empty. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about that in chapter 13. He says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Does that describe any marriages that you know about? Don't testify today. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. The missing element in our lives when we feel empty is usually this thing called unconditional love or agape love. Let me tell every single female here a secret to life. Here's a secret. There is no man that's ever been created who can make your life fulfilled. Same thing for the men. There's no woman who could ever make your life fulfilled. If you ever go into a relationship thinking that's going to fulfill you, you're going to be sadly disappointed. And nobody else can make you happy. Nobody else can give you joy. That emptiness that you try to fill with relationships, it's because you need the ultimate relationship, God. If God is not enough, nothing else will ever be either. But if God is enough, then you can enhance that with the right relationship that He brings into your life. Can somebody say amen? Amen. The absence of love makes our lives empty. And it is this God-shaped vacuum that every person is born with that the Holy Spirit uses to draw a person to see their need of God. And that's what's missing in people's lives, and that's why they look for drugs, and that's why they look for sex outside of marriage, and that's why they look for a recreation, that's why they look for this or they look for that, because something is missing from their life. Their life is empty, and they don't know what it is, and it's this missing ingredient called love, unconditional love, not a brotherly love, not sexual love, not stergay love, but God's agape, unconditional love. It's so important that Paul says that if you don't have love, then your life is empty. There are two things that he uses to illustrate how useless and how vain and empty a life without agape is. He says, even if you have languages without love, that's just noise. Languages without love are just noisy. He says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I started to get the drums and the clangs and just make some noise for you. How many of you had kids just trying to learn to play drums? They just making noise. But that's what Paul's talking about. And it's an interesting thing that he uses the word languages here. Because in the Greek culture, eloquence was one of the most highly sought after attributes. It was very, very expressive. And the Apostle Paul says, even if you know all languages, even if you can speak Hebrew, even if you can speak Greek, even if you can speak Aramaic, that without love would be noisy. He said, added it in. Even if you could speak with spiritual languages, but you did it without love, that would just be noisy. And so any expression of communication without love is just simply noisy. And that would get the Corinthians' attention because they prided themselves on being able to speak unknown languages or unknown tongues. They were selfish. They were self-centered. They were exclusionary in their meals and in their fellowship. And Apostle Paul says, you can do all of those things, but if you do them without love, you're just noisy. And that's what the Corinthian fellowship was all about. It was full of people, smart people, wealthy people, diverse people, but they didn't have love. You know, that describes a lot of churches around. They got a lot of things, but they don't have love. And when you go there, it's just noise without orchestration. It is just noise without harmony. But man, when you come to a place like we like to think of our church as a place, man, there's a difference between noise and love. And when the love is what's driving things, you take all of the parts, you take all of the speech, you take all of the diversity, you take all of the cultures, and you bring it together. And Paul said, that is sweet. That is nice. That is blessing. Love. Missing from a relationship will make your languages just noisy. He goes on to say, even if you could speak angel talk without love, it would be noise. You see, demons have their own language, and there's nothing nice about demon talk, even though they are angels, fallen angels. And so what we come is whenever we're going to try to express ourselves using our language, we need to make sure that our language is not just noise, but our language is love. Amen? Not only does he say that languages without love is noisy, then he says gifts without love are nothing. Gifts without love, unconditional love, are nothing. What we find out about that, he says, if I had the gift of prophecy, if I had the ability to know all mysteries, if I had all knowledge available to man, and if I even had all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am Nothing. Nothing. Say the word nothing to your neighbor. Say, you're more than nothing. You're something. Because love makes nothing something. But the absence of love makes something nothing. So today, are you feeling empty? If you're feeling empty, why don't you come to the love station and let God just fill you up with His agape love. And it will be an action seen by you and then seen by others through you. What are you doing for the kingdom of God that's done simply as an act of a choice and not an emotional response? But how many of you know you can wake up and feel bad? How many of you know that you can go through the obligations that you have in the day and you just not feel like doing much of anything? But you know what will get you over that? The love of God. Because the love of God is not limited to or conditioned upon you feeling like anything. Love is a choice. It's an act of the will, not an attraction of the emotion. And so when people say, we just need to end this relationship because we don't love anymore, what they're saying is either they don't know anything about agape, or they're saying, I know about agape. I'm just going to continue to choose not to love you. I'm going to continue to choose not to do the right things by you. Oh, wouldn't it be a tremendous baptism of this community if they were to get from every single one of us a fresh infusion of agape love into them, and their life would have extreme value through it? So, the absence of love makes my life empty. But number two, the abundance of love makes my life enjoyable. The absence of love makes my life empty, but the abundance of love makes my life enjoyable. Just look at that word, enjoyable. What's the first two letters of it? N. What's the next three letters? Joy. What's the last four letters? Able. If you get in love, you'll find joy and you're able. You are in joy and you're able. How many wants to be able when you leave here? How many wants joy when you leave here today? Well, get in love. And you get in love not by feeling it, but by choosing it. You'll never get saved by feeling it. You'll get saved by choosing it. You'll never be obedient by feeling it. You'll get obedient by choosing it. You'll never get successful by feeling it, but by choosing it. You'll never overcome the devil by feeling it, but by choosing it. And life is a choice. Why not choose that? That's why God says, I put blessing before you and cursing before you. Choose blessing, but I'll let you choose cursing. You see, so much of what we call love today is simply tolerance. I'm going to tolerate you. But that's not love. You know, we say, well, that's your way, but this is my way, and I'll tolerate your way. You tolerate my way. You know, God loves us. And He doesn't just tolerate us. How many of you have God ever changed? That there are things that you did that if all love was simply tolerating bad behavior, you'd still be in bad behavior. But God loves us enough to tolerate us, but He loves us too much to leave us just tolerable. God loves us enough to change us. And I'm so glad that I'm changed now. My wife's glad I'm changed now. And she lives with hope that I won't quit changing. I'll always change for the better. Amen? Well, love, the presence of love makes life enjoyable. And there's so many people that are not in joy able. They're not very enjoyable. But love will make you have joy, and it will help you to be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Now, as a twice-born man or a twice-born woman, there are three things that the abundance of love does for us. Number one, my character should be identified by love. When people think of Bobby Atkins, They ought to think of Bobby Atkins as being patient, of being kind, of not acting unbecomingly, of all of the perfections that he said, though we're not perfect, but we're a progress. And my character, everything about me should be identified by God's kind of love. Now, that's why we have small group. That's why we have worship. That's why we have preaching. It's supposed to help chip off the rough edges. Amen. And we can and we should put a sign on us. Don't judge me yet. I'm a work in progress. But it doesn't excuse me from my character not being loving. And the same thing for us. My character, everything about me, my very fiber of my being, should be identified by love. In my opening remarks, I said that love is not something that you describe with adjectives, because love is described with verbs. Now listen to this. When it says love is patient, what I'd like for you to do is put your name right there. Like I'm going to say, Bobby is patient. Now, does that seem right or wrong? Does that seem credible or not credible? Does that seem believable or unbelievable when you put your name there? Now, the word for patient is not the word for patient with circumstances. It's the word for patient with people. If it weren't for people, I'd be a very patient person. Bobby is or is not patient. How about when you put your name there? How about Bobby is kind? When you do that, that lets you begin to see what kind of character are you presenting in the world each day. When the world sees you, what do they see about your character? Are you a patient person? Are you a kind person? Are you a loving person? As a child of God, we have many opportunities to go through every day of our life choosing to be loving or choosing not to be loving. And listen to what Jesus said, by this, the way that you love one another, the way that you're patient with one another, the way that you're kind with one another, by this, all men will know that you what? You belong to Him, that you're His children. And we're a family here. And we have one Father, that's God, by virtue of the new birth, by grace through faith. And by grace through faith, we are to be like our daddy. Or the question is, who's your daddy? If you are loved by God, belong to God, you ought to act like your daddy. Well, my character should be identified by love. But number two, my conduct should be influenced by love. If I'm a child of God, if He dwells within me, then not only should my character be identified by love, but my conduct should be influenced by love. And look at verse 4. Love does not act in what way? Unbecomingly. Have you ever seen any unbecoming behavior coming around you? Have you ever acted unbecomingly? That doesn't fit you. That doesn't describe you. That doesn't do you justice. You're a child of the King. And as a child of the King, you've got royal blood running through your veins. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You have every material blessing, every spiritual blessing, everything at your disposal. And so act like you belong. Act like your namesake. We need to teach our children. We give them two valuable things. We give them our name, and we give them our reputation. Don't mess up either one of them. And the Father does that as well. I'm going to let you be called my child, He said. But anyone, John says, anyone who says they're a child of God ought to act like a child of God. They ought to act like Jesus and walk like Jesus walked. So my conduct should be influenced by love. Now, love does not act unbecomingly. Love is not, what's this next one? Love is not provoked. They didn't live in Atlanta and drive in Atlanta traffic, did they? They didn't live in your family or my family, did they? Love, unconditional love, is not provoked. Look at the next one. Uh-oh. Love does not take into account a what? How many of you still remember the wrong you suffered last week? How many of you still sing as your favorite song, Somebody Done Me Wrong song? If we don't get beyond the wrongs that we've suffered, we'll never get to the level that God wants us to have. So as you sit there today, are you a loving person? Is your character influenced by love? Is your conduct influenced by love? Is your character identified by love? Then he says, it never takes into account a wrong suffered. Basically, what it's saying is, love forgives. Love forgives. Now, forgiving isn't forgetting. Forgiving is agreeing to live with the consequences that somebody's done against you without using it against them in the future. Doesn't mean you don't set up boundaries to keep continuing abuse from happening, but it means that if you've been wronged, that you're going to have to release that wrong and that hurt and every consequence that goes with it back to the Father and say, Father, you take and make me right. You take and heal me. You take and move me beyond this, and I turn this person over to you because I know you'll deal with them fairly, which is something that I cannot do. And even if you could extract the revenge that you would like to, it wouldn't be good enough. It wouldn't be good enough. So you go ahead and release it to God and let God deal with them fairly and justly, which is something he can do and he's promised to do. But there's a real test that comes with your forgiveness when you see them getting blessed. You say, that wasn't what I had in mind, Lord. I didn't have in mind you blessing them. But you know what the scripture says? The goodness of God leads us to repentance. So if you grit your teeth and you grind them when you think of that person that wronged you, probably a pretty good chance that you're still counting the wrong suffered against them. So go ahead and release it. But if your forgiveness doesn't visit the emotional hurt and hate of what they've done to you, then your forgiveness will be incomplete and you have to go there again. Forgive, because it's the loving thing to do. You say, I don't feel like it. Remember, love's not a feeling. Love's a choice. And it's something that you can do. Don't say, Lord, I don't feel like forgiving them. Don't say, Lord, help me to forgive them. He's already helping you. You know what you got to say? Lord, I choose to forgive them. Don't say, Lord, I want to forgive them. Lord, I'm going to forgive them. Lord, I choose to forgive and state what they've done and release them. And then you go ahead and begin, Lord, I ask you to bless them. I found that if you're asking God to bless somebody, it's hard to be mad at them. And you might have to run, Lord, I ask you to bless them. Not too much, bless them. Lord, just heap it down on them. Just bless them. Lord, they're yours, they're not mine. I don't want to be chained to them any longer. I can't even carry my own weight in this world, let alone my weight of them and me. Just bless them. My conduct should be influenced. But number three, if I'm a loving person, love is so important that my choices should be immersed in love. Oh, my goodness, love bears all things, believe all things, hopes all things, and love endures all things. We talked about this at length in a message. I just want to summarize for you what each of these things mean about love bears, love believes, love hopes, love endures. We told you that word bears is the word that means to cover something. It's a word that's related to the word roof. How many of you are glad that you're covered by a roof today with all this rain coming down? How many of you glad when you drove here today, you drove here with a car that had a roof on it? How many of you glad that the home that you slept in, the apartment that you had, the dwelling place, it had a roof on it that didn't leak? Man, that the word for covering here is that when you've done something wrong or I've done something wrong, the love that we have, the choices that we make, says, let me cover that for you. It's not to cover it up, but let me protect you from the outside elements that will come against you. How many of you know that you have done something wrong in your life and you've not had a proper covering over you and the world continues to abuse you for your wrong choice? Sometimes you know the church continues to abuse you for a wrong choice that you've made. You don't have a loving covering over you. But I want to tell you, when you've got agape covering you, love will bear up with you over that. Love will say, let me help you over that. You have done the wrong thing. You have gone to the wrong place. You've made the wrong choice. But we don't have to talk about it anymore. You have done that. You have dealt with that. You've been forgiven of that. You've been cleansed of that. And now we're going to cover that. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know what kind of a church family you want, but I want one that's going to bear all things with me when I blow it. They're not going to excuse my sin. They're going to tolerate my sin. They're going to be committed to my change. But they're not going to change me through legalism. They're going to change me through love. And they're going to cover me, because love will be silent when you could speak about it. The world will have plenty to say about it, but you don't have to talk about it anymore. You can say, I'm going to cover that. And sometimes you'll have a chance when you have had unforgiveness towards somebody and they bring something up. You want to get down and say, yeah, let me tell you what they did. I had a chance this week. Somebody's name came up that had done something bad to me, wronged me, hurt me. Can you believe that? Me. And they ask me about that person, and you immediately have a choice. If I'm unloving or I'm loving conditionally, then I'm going to bring up the worst things that I can about that person to make them look as bad as I possibly can. But the love of God being shed abroad in my heart said, tell them something good about this person, which wasn't untrue and it wasn't unkind. And it was exactly true. You see, we have a choice. Are we going to say the mean things, the hurtful things, the hateful things, the vengeful things? Or are we going to edify? We're going to encourage? We're going to bless? We're going to cover the worst thing that they have done. Not to cover it up, but to cover it. Love will be silent when it otherwise could speak. He says there's a second thing about that. Not only in our choices, but love not only bears all things, but love believes all things. When it says that love believes all things, this is a great word too. All things essentially means to give the benefit of the doubt, even in the face of contradictory evidence. Let me use this to share a testimony with you, because it involves you and the blessing of that too. Most of you know that one of our son-in-laws has been in jail more than he's been out. He's been a very unloving person. He's been a very untrustworthy person. I'm not ragging on him, and I'm just telling you this to tell you the good thing here. You also know he's been on our prayer list for a long time. Only two forms of communication we've ever received from him, and only two times we've received one of each. I received a voicemail from him not long after they'd been married. It was as vile and as offensive and as curse-laden as anything you'd ever want to have. I mean, if I wasn't convinced that God didn't want me to be in a prison ministry, we'd have settled out a different way. And I told him, best thing going for him is that God loves him better than I did at that time, and that I didn't think God wanted me to be in a prison ministry. But we've chosen to love him anyway, and he's been harder to love than others. He's in prison right now for things that he's done. But he's been on our prayer list. God moved upon me to pray for him regularly and often. And have the church to pray for him, and you've done that. We got the second form of communication from him last week. I got a letter from him from jail. And in that letter, you know, he came as honest and as clean as he's ever come about anything in his life. But in that letter, he said this, I have truly been born again in this jail cell this time. Amen. He said that before. But he said a lot of things different. And he talked about how much he wanted to be a godly father, and how much he wants to be a godly husband, and how much he wants to make the wrongs right in his life. But he said how much he's witnessing to people in there, and how much he's telling people. He said, I can't get enough of the Word of God. I just consume it. I just am saturated with it. I'm just trying to do the best I can to live for God in here and do that. And I'll give you an amusing part of his. I really think he got saved, and that's the part I'm going to get to here, but I think he's barely saved. He was witnessing to a fellow in there, and a guy spit on him. And a guy spit on him. And he said, "So I knocked his teeth down his throat." And he said to the guy, "You can spit on me because you don't like me, or you don't spit on me when I'm telling you about Jesus." And he had a long three or four front and back pages of that. And I wrote him back, and I told him how much I rejoiced with the good news that he shared. And by his own testimony, that he's not built a lot of credibility and trustworthiness in the words that he said. But I said, love believes all things. And Daniel, I'm going to choose to believe that you truly got saved this time. I'm going to choose to believe that, and I'm going to rejoice with you in that. I'm going to do all that I can do and Marie can do to help you to live as a godly man. Because your children deserve a godly father, and their mother deserves a godly wife. And I don't know if you have blown a chance to be those things to them with your consequences, because I talked about consequences in that. But God is a miracle working God, and he can do incredible things. But I told him this: if you can live as a twice born man in that once born environment that you're living in, you won't have any trouble living as a twice born man once you get out. So you keep doing that. That's what Paul's talking about. Love bears all things and love believes all things. There is enough evidence to say, don't believe that. But love says, I'm going to choose to believe his testimony. I don't have anything to contradict there now, but I've got a history of things of not being trustworthy. But I'm going to choose to believe it because he's taking the time to write me and to tell that to me, and that's totally uncharacteristic of him. There'll be people just like that that you'll have a chance to love, and there'll come a time that love will tell you, believe this. Believe this. I know it doesn't look this way, but believe this. It doesn't mean be naive. It doesn't mean to be ignorant. It means to be loving. Number three, he says, love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Some of you are in situations right now that it's hard for you to cover it. It's hard for you to believe it. What do you do when you can't believe? That's where hope comes from. Hope is going to be that rope that'll keep you connected to the object that you want to love and that you're choosing to love. Even when you can't believe, even when you can't see, you can hope. Some of you are in situations that there's just not a lot of hope left. Look at what it says, love endures all things. If you're willing not to base your decisions on emotional attraction or lack of emotional attraction, but on the will of God and the power of God, then you can choose to love even when it doesn't seem possible. That's what Stephen was doing when they were picking up the stones to end his life here on earth. The very last thing he said as he looked up in heaven is, Father, don't lay this sin to their account. And the very last things that Jesus said on that cross is, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Love will endure all things. My conduct, my choices, and my character should all be identified with, influenced by, and immersed in the agape love. Somebody say amen. Amen. The final thing that I want to call to your attention is this. Not only does the absence of love make my life empty, and not only does the abundance of love make my life enjoyable, but the acceptance of love makes my life eternal. The acceptance of love makes my life eternal. Paul says in verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. Verse 10, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. Now look at that word perfect. When the perfect comes, who is the perfect? What is the perfect? Some people say it's Scripture. The Scripture is perfect. Some people say it's the church. Church isn't perfect in this life. But the right interpretation of that is the perfect one, Jesus. When the perfect one comes into your life, then that which is partial is done away with. He goes on to say before that that we look in a mirror dimly, and we know in part, but we shall be known as we are known. But now the perfect one has come, and that's going to last forever. You want your life to last forever? And you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I was witnessing to a man one time, and I thought he was close to being saved. And I was giving some examples of the benefits of becoming a child of God. And I said this to him. I said that before you know Jesus, before you're a child of God, you only have the capacity to love conditionally. Everything you try to love will at best be a conditional love. But when you become a child of God, when you're born again, then you have a capacity to love unconditionally. And the very love that you have for your wife will go to a new level. And you'll be able to love more completely and more thoroughly and more rewardingly and more satisfyingly than ever before. What do you think he took out of that entire conversation? He said, I don't know how to love. And in reality, that's what it is. You don't know how to love until you have been loved. And when God has loved you, and His love comes inside of you, then you have the capacity to love completely and thoroughly, and you yourself will live eternally with Him in heaven. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's why your life is empty, because the absence of love makes you empty. The abundance of love makes your life enjoyable, and the acceptance of love will make your life eternal. Wouldn't you like to know the love of God and have it shed abroad in your heart? Well, let me give you this opportunity here. The way that you obtain a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is by grace through faith. And that's when you recognize that you're a sinner. And God's already chosen to love you, but He loves you enough not to leave you like that. He loves you enough to come to you and convince you of your sin nature, and to convince you that your sin nature is what keeps you separated from God. But He's not only teaching you that the wages of sin is death, He's also convincing you that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now here's what you have to do. You have to realize that that emptiness in your life is not going to be filled anywhere with anything that you try. God is the only thing that can take away that emptiness. You won't need drugs after that. You won't need alcohol after that. You won't need sexual immorality after that. You won't need immorality after that. You won't need any temporal thing after that. Because God will be more than enough. It will be God that will create the abundance of life and overflowing from your life. If you're empty, and the world hasn't been able to satisfy you, and you're willing to say no to the world and say yes to God, then you accept Jesus today, then you accept love. And accepting love is accepting God, because God is love. When the perfect comes into your life, then the partial will be done away with, and you'll be fulfilled, and you'll be satisfied. So is your life empty? Has something been missing from you? Have you not known what it's been? It's agape love, and love is God. God wants to love you today. Will you let Him? What you need to do is say this. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. My life is empty, and I want You to fill it with Your grace and love. So right now, I invite you to save my soul. From this day forward, I will put You first in my life. If you mean that from everything within you, there's never been a time, there's never been a place that you remember doing anything like that, then God says you've just been saved by grace through faith. You would need to confess Him before men. We're going to give you a chance to do that today. In just a moment, I'm going to give you a chance to stand. Giving you a chance to stand, I'll give you a chance to come down and say, Pastor, I've been loved today for the first time. God has come into my life and filled my soul. Amen? Father, I thank you for this privilege of learning about the importance of love. And Lord, I thank you for anyone, for everyone who invited you to love them unconditionally today by receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, Father, I'm going to ask you to give them the courage to come and tell me that's exactly what they did. And Lord, we want to celebrate together this greatest decision anyone ever makes. Lord, for the ones who've been empty, but they know they've been saved, may they fill themselves up today by choosing to let you love them and them loving you back. May they show that by loving each other. Lord, for the one who just wants to be eternal, may they be willing to come, embracing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's